So good morning. How was y'all's Christmas?
Good.
Good? Yeah, Christmas is such a special time of the year. Today we're going to talk more about the Christmas story, and we're going to discuss the shepherds. Now, there you go. There's a shepherd. What is the tool or the thing that we usually see a shepherd have? A staff. They usually carry a staff, and they usually carry this staff with them because, you know, sheep can be pretty ornery. So they would sometimes the sheep would get out of place, and they would have to pull them back. So that's kind of what the staff was used for. And one thing I ran across, and when I was thinking about this, doesn't a candy cane kind of look like a staff? Yeah? And this candy cane can represent Jesus, can remind us about Jesus. So on this candy cane, can someone share with me one of the colors that you see?
Red.
You see red? Well, red reminds us that the stripes that are red reminds us that's the blood that was shed for you and me. Can you tell me another color that's on that?
White.
That's right. White is for my Savior, who is sinless and pure. And I'm going to take one of these off because I've got... Now, if we turn this way, what letter does that represent?
Jesus!
Yes, J for Jesus, correct. And of course, as we said, this also reminds us of the staff. So... I'm going to challenge each one of you for the week. As the shepherds went back and they told everyone of this great news about Jesus' birth, you can also tell others about Jesus by simply sharing them about this candy cane. That's pretty cool, ain't it? And I also have here for those, I don't know who all was here for the Christmas Eve service, but those who were not here, we also have another little gift that you can take with you for those who are not here. So we're going to end in prayer. So 1, 2, 3, let's fold our hands. God, we thank you so much for the kids that are here today. We pray for those who are not with us. Lord, we thank you for candy canes, and Lord, we just thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to us. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so we can come up here. I'll hand each one of you. There you go. Got it? There you go. There you go, Calvin. Was he here for Christmas Eve?
Baby, okay. I gave mine to Jesus as a baby.
Oh, okay, you can have another one. Yep, you may. Oh, here, Ethan.
Good morning. Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
It was a night like any other night, except for that angel. Ain't seen nothing like it before or since. Us shepherds, we don't get a lot of excitement out there in the pasture. But that angel, it was so bright, so beautiful. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sam, you've been out in that pasture just a little bit too long. And you'd be correct. But that all changed when that angel came right up to us. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." I was like, "Too late." And then the angel said, no, I wrote it down. I need to get this right. Hold on. Okay. The angel said, that's my grocery list. Then the angel said, "I have good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the angel said, "He's lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth. Go find him." Okie dokie. So we're all sitting around, and then one of the shepherds, I think it was Steve, he's like, "Hey, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Bethlehem." So we hightailed it out of there, and we found that beautiful baby. I'll tell you, I was a different man after that. God chose me. Nobody's ever chosen me for anything. I'll never forget what that angel said, though. The angel said, "I bring good news to all people." That means you too.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad I do CrossFit. This thing is heavy. So please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we can gather here. And I just ask that you, these words be yours and not mine, and may they stir each one of our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. So let me begin. For any visitors we have this morning, we welcome you and we hope that you come back to join us here at Bethany for worship. Now, just to clarify, I think most people could figure this out, but I'm not Pastor Susan. Just want to clarify that.
Yeah, we went in
a note. Yes. So anything that goes wrong up here today, she'll be back next week to hopefully fix everything. So my name is Sean Cook, and I'm the youth pastor here. You know, it's such a joy to be part of the youth ministry. These kids, you know, they're always on time. They never go off the topic in class. They never voice their opinions. And I have oceanfront property in Arizona. We could talk about that, too. But no, honestly, I do truly love hanging out with them and watching each one of them grow in their faith. I hope everyone had a great Christmas celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus and spending time with family. Many may know back in August, our family, we added two more kiddos to our mix. Some say we're kind of almost like the Brady Bunch now. But it made our Christmas so much more special as we shared our family traditions with them. You know, and speaking of family, I mean, ain't they so much fun to be around? You know, especially those ones you see once a year. Thankfully, that's over. So I'm sure for many today, after Christmas, which is it's kind of a big sigh of relief, right? All the running from place to place, shopping, church programs, decorating the tree, cooking meals after meals. You know, I've heard many say that Christmas is over. It's time to move on. But I believe this is where it all begins. Now that we have prepared in our hearts for the birth of our Savior, now I think it's time for us to respond to this amazing gift that has been given unto us. And for me, I felt God speak to me about moving on from Christmas. As you can see from the sermon title, Now What?, I would like to share with you how God is transforming my heart about this Christmas story, and I hope this morning He can begin to change yours as well. You know, in order to understand where to go from here, we must go back to the Christmas story and learn about some shepherds. And last week, if you was here, we were visited by one of them, Hank the Shepherd. Got to hear his very interesting side. And this morning, obviously from the video, we got another perspective about that night. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. If you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, you may. So in verse 8, we are introduced to these shepherds. And we've all heard this story many, many times. And it only makes sense, right? I mean, we can't have a nativity without the shepherds, right? That's right. But the reason I speak on this part of the Christmas story today is I have often wondered about that night. What was the meaning of the shepherds hearing this great news of Jesus' birth? And did that encounter they had at that manger, did it affect them? I mean, have you ever wondered about this story? Now, for those hearing this 2,000 years ago, they would have definitely seen it a little differently. They would think this news from the angels would have been shared with some political leaders of the time, like Caesar or Herod, maybe even the Pharisees, but definitely not some shepherds. Shepherds were social outcasts of their day. Their profession was seen as unclean. They were not even allowed into the temple courts to be part of any of the worship practices. You know, this should be very sound and very familiar. You know, much like the shepherds, God chooses those who society sees as worthless, undeserving, but He always uses those people for His glory, much like we're going to learn today. So as we read about the angel of the Lord who stood before the shepherds and given them this great news, this, my friends, is where God shows up out on that field. This is such a big game-changer moment. God could have chosen so many different people to tell this news, but He chose simple shepherds. God has showed up and invited a bunch of outcasts, those who were not welcome from society, and God chose them to be part of this awesome announcement. This great news that the angel spoke of, this news of joy and peace, is that God has come as a baby. He has come for the shepherds. He has come for me. And He has come for you. The Christmas story, we usually try to remember the baby Jesus. We think of Him as this cute, cuddly little bundle of joy. But I want you to really think about it. God has come down to us in flesh, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. How profound. The one Israel has been waiting for, anticipating this king who was going to save them, He has come. But they didn't get what they were expecting, did they? One of the many prophecies is from Jeremiah 23:5, which states, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise up David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth." And I believe in verse 11, this prophecy is fulfilled. As the angels announce, born on this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah of the Lord. The shepherds their response from this news, well, they were terrified. And throughout Scripture, we see that was a natural response when God shows up. I mean, imagine you're at the office on Monday morning, you're at home watching TV, or maybe you're getting your kids from place to place, and God shows up. I think terror would be a natural response. But I learned something from this, and that is when God shows up, it should change the way we respond. No longer should we respond in fear. We should respond in obedience and confidence. And I believe the shepherds do both of these things as they set off to discover these things that they were told. We cannot let fear stand in the way of what God is calling us to do. So the shepherds make their way to the manger. And can you imagine their excitement after everything they heard and seen? I mean, put yourself there that night, standing in the field, watching sheep. I mean, how extraordinary could that be, right? You're doing a very routine job, and boom, God shows up to a bunch of nobodies to tell this great thing that has happened. Studies suggest that the shepherds were not too far from where all this took place, so I'm sure they just didn't go on a leisure walk. You know, I imagine them running to see what has happened. And we were told once they got there and saw what they were told, they had made known everything that had happened that night to them. And I'm sure as they were speaking out of breath, filled with excitement, stumbling over their words, and we don't know who all was there, but we were told that all that heard was amazed at what they were saying. And we're even told how Mary was. You know, in the scripture, it talks about how she was treasuring all these things, and she sat and pondered all this in her heart. Now, for me, I believe after everything Mary has been through, hearing this news from the shepherds, she knew there was something special about her son. And she knew that the one lying in that manger was truly a gift from God. There is no doubt in my mind, at this moment, at this part of the story, this baby we know as Jesus has just changed history. So in my preparation of the sermon, I ran across words from Max Lucado regarding this story. Off to one side sits a group of shepherds. They sit silently on the floor, perhaps in awe, no doubt in amazement. Their night watch had been interrupted by an explosion of light from heaven and a sympathy of angels. God goes to those who have time to hear him, and so on this cloudless night, he went to simple shepherds. I love that last part. God goes to those who have time to hear him. You know, this quote just struck me. And for me, this is a transformation I was speaking of earlier, kind of began for me. As I read more about the shepherds being in a field, I realized God may have spoken to them first because they had time to hear. You know, I realized that in my business of life and all my commitments and in all my responsibilities, I don't take time to fully grasp God's presence. You know, it's one of those things when you're in prayer you're asking God, it's hard to hear him when you're running from place to place. And sometimes worship just becomes routine. As we gather here on Sunday mornings, I have to wonder, are we truly encountering God's presence? And do we feel that worship has just kind of become routine? And I like to think of this as, I'm sure you've heard this before, as going through the motions of worship. You know, as soon as we enter the doors on time or for some late, we sit and stand through the songs. We try not to nod off during the sermons, and I hope you're not now. Our mind is focused on other things during prayer. Our giving consists of whatever we find in our pocket at that moment. And once service is over, out the door, back to the business of life. I mean, how much have we missed? I mean, how much have we lost in knowing God's presence is among us as we gather here on Sunday mornings? I mean, if we were really to grasp God's presence, I mean, how different would worship and how much different our worship life would be? In this story, the shepherds, when they encountered Jesus, their response was one of praise. This encounter the shepherds had with Jesus changed them, because we are told they returned to the field glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. Their response was one of praise and one of acceptance. And I love this because it shows me how an encounter of Jesus changed these ordinary, not good enough, smelly, whatever you want to call them, shepherds. And it also changes my heart and makes me realize that our response of being in God's presence should be that of praise and of acceptance. Once we encounter Jesus, truly embrace him, I don't care if you're the least of the least or the most prestige, the way we worship, the way we give, and the way we respond should be much like the shepherds. The response should be one of praise. This story of the shepherds is such a powerful example of God's love for us. This story of the shepherds and the Christmas story in general, should open all of our eyes to the fact that none of us deserved this gift. This gift, which is of love, and it cannot be earned. We've heard this scripture many of times. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes him may not perish, but may have eternal life." This amazing love is for all. God has come to bring comfort and joy to those who are hurting, seeking answers to life's most difficult questions, struggling with their faith, or maybe they're like the prodigal who's away from home. This is an amazing story, but once again, I believe it's one that requires a response from all of us. So now what? Well, first, let's remember God chose the shepherds, and he chooses all of us to be part of his story, the story of a Savior who came to save us. So I want you to leave here today, and I want to leave you with this. I want to challenge each one of you, as you approach a new year, may you respond as the shepherds did by telling others about this amazing gift that God sent to us, this baby named Jesus. And I challenge you to break the cycle of going through the motions of worship and come ready to encounter Jesus. Once you enter the doors, may you be filled with anticipation to feel God's presence. May worship be more than a bunch of words on a screen. May the words move you. And may your giving be that of praise and thanksgiving. Because trust me, when we encounter Jesus as the shepherds did that night, our lives can be changed. Amen. So now it's time for our joys and concerns. If you have any joys and concerns you'd like to lift up. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Do we have any others? Keep Pastor Susan, obviously, in prayer as she's traveling.
Please remember Barbara Summers and Bud Summers. Their hearts are still here, although they can't be here, and they're still being faithful to our church. But they can't come, and they have real struggles. So please keep them in your prayers and thoughts.
Okay, thank you. If there is no other at this time, please join me in prayer.
I have one.
Yes.
Every time I go volunteer at the, it brings me joy. At the food pantry.
The food pantry. That's awesome.
She also has her second cataract surgery tomorrow.
Okay. Remember that. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you once again for this day that we can gather here. And Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings you have provided each one of us. You know, the greatest thing about Christmas is that you sent Jesus to us. And may we be like the shepherds, changed from the inside as we embrace your presence more and more each day. Now, we like to pause to lift up any joys to you silently. Lord, you have heard the concerns today spoken out loud, and we ask that you surround each person with your love, and may you provide them with comfort and be with them as they have upcoming surgeries or whatever they're about ready to face. And now we will take some time to pause to lift up any unspoken concerns to you silently. Lord, we pray for our country. May we be the church. May the church continue to step up in these difficult times, and may the church be the light that shines bright. We lift up our leaders. May you guide their steps and direction. Lord, we lift up our military, all those who serve locally, and we lift up our leaders here in the church. Lord, we lift up our food pantry and all the families that come to us. May we continue to feed them, not only with food, but feed them spiritually as well. Lord, as we approach a new year, may we continue to be the church you have called us to be. May we continue to show love in all that we do. May your Spirit move among us, nudge those who need nudging, and may each one find ways to serve you. And we will end today by saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and power, glory forever. Amen. So now it's time for the mission moment, and I believe Maggie has something to share.
Good morning. Okay, so about a year ago, we began having some visioning and planning meetings here at Bethany, and we identified three areas that we wanted to focus on in the days ahead to work on as a congregation. And one of these areas was leadership and empowering leaders within our church walls. Because our church functions best and we are served best when our building is full of people who are leading based on their passions, their love, and their faith. And so we are realizing that the more people we have who are feeling empowered to lead our church and our congregation, the better off we are going to be and the better off our congregation is going to be. So in this, I began meeting with a gentleman named Gordon Merriweather about 9 months ago, and he is the district minister of vitality, of congregational vitality for the Harrisonburg district. One of us went and had a baby, and that just really got in the way of things. But finally, we have come together, and we are going to be offering a 5-week mini session through January 12th through January 9th. So there's going to be 5 Sundays in a row. I'm hoping that we have to meet in the fellowship hall because there are so many people. But it is called the Leadership Challenge. And it is based off of a book that is all about leadership and empowering us to all be leaders. The next slide. So we operate under this misconception that leaders are born. I am not a leader. I am shy. I am insecure. I'm definitely an introvert. I am not a leader. But this is not true. Leaders are made. And we can all learn how to be very effective and powerful leaders. So this is going to be a very fun mini session, I think. There's no homework. Gordon sat down and he said, "Do you want them to read the book?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Thank goodness, because they're not going to read it." He's a great guy, and you know me. Don't come for me. Come for him. He has a great history. He has done thousands of things in his life. He's a really funny, down-to-earth guy. He has taught this book in college-level classes. He knows his stuff. I think you'll really enjoy it. He has me to kind of tie it together to our story here at Bethany. So it's not just going to be some generic leadership thing. We're really trying to connect it to who we are and what we're doing. So please, please come. And maybe by the end of the 5 weeks, when you're painting your self-portrait, you won't be painting a frumpy cat. You'll be painting a tiger. So join us.
So now it's time for the announcements. You can turn in your bulletin. Caring cards will meet on Tuesday, January 7th at 10 a.m. at the church. Young at Hearts will have their monthly luncheon at McAllister's in Harrisonburg on January 7th at 12 noon. Please see Carolyn Swartz if you have any questions. There's going to be a women's ministry meeting on Tuesday, January 7th. Wow, January 7th is a busy day. That's going to be at 6:30 at the church. Questions, contact Cindy Kite. On the back there, it says that there will be a 2020 planning meeting on Tuesday, January 14th at 6:30. I missed the... Now it's about the youth. So youth, after service today during the connections time, we will be baking cookies for Valley Mission tonight. So please come and help with that. And this evening we'll be serving the meal at Valley Missions, and afterwards we'll have our Christmas party. So please see me if you have any questions about that. Is there any other announcements at this time? All right, if not, it's now time for our tithes and our offerings. We just ask that you bless these gifts that we're about to receive, and may they be able to help others that are in need. In your name we pray. Amen.